This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is 4 o'clock on a beautiful, feels like a summer Tuesday afternoon in New York City. Evan and Tiki on the fan. We got the Yankees a little bit later on. We got the Mets a little bit later on tonight. I got good news for Met fans. They've won 5 in a row, and Mark Vientos is back in the lineup. I also feel it's very important to hold ourselves accountable. Yesterday on this show, because Sean was so upset at Pablo Reyes being in the Yankees lineup, I declared, hey, I'm going to bet Pablo Reyes to get 2 hits. Who wants to join in with me? Pablo Reyes got a hit, and then when he came up late in the game, he got pinch hit for by Ben Rice.
Wonder why.
And did Ben Rice get a hit?
No!
Oh, so it doesn't count.
I mean, hard hit ball in the gap, though. Could have gone through.
I was going to argue if Ben Rice got a hit, then his position got a hit. So technically,
yeah, would it count that hits. Way. So I got a loss. I want to hold myself accountable. Pablo Reyes did not get 2 hits. And then the other bet that was advised by some on our show came from Sean Morash, who said, hey, the Pope is dead. That means Nick Castellanos is going to hit a home run because there's this urban legend that Castellanos hits home runs when bad things happen. And Nick Castellanos did not hit a home run.
He did not. It wasn't a big financial night last night on the show.
No. But we got to be honest about it. He did hit one to deep right center field.
Why are y'all messing with the Pope, man?
I didn't touch the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
That was not me.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Sean special.
That's bad juju coming on you.
I agree.
My team stink. How much worse can it get for me?
And I put a little bit of blame on Tommy because Tommy said he's got remorse if he doesn't make the Castellanos bet because if Castellanos comes through, Sean will be so obnoxious. Yeah. So I have to make the bet too.
I'll have FOMO.
So the FOMO caused you to lose as well.
Correct. I would bet him tonight, Castellanos.
But it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter tonight.
Yeah, you win money.
Oh, so like a new bet.
So everybody in the world had him last night. No one will think of him tonight. Tonight is the night to bet him.
All right.
It's against the grain gambling.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, buddy.
Okay.
Right.
Are you going to do that, T?
That's how you get in trouble gambling.
Yeah, seriously. You keep doing it night after night.
Cancel bet. I'm in.
I don't think there's anything that jumps out at me as a gut feeling bet tonight. Nah. Like, there's nothing that, like, speaks to me. So I just wanted to make sure we held ourselves accountable. We made those bets on the air, and we were wrong.
I just real quickly, I think Lakers is the bet tonight.
Why is that the bet tonight? To even the series up at 1?
Yeah, they're not going down 0-2.
Okay.
LeBron is dragging them to
0-2. I tend to agree with you, but not confidently enough to bet. I mean, you're advising people to use their hard-earned money on something you just have a gut feeling about.
I was getting more tweets about Pablo Reyes than anything last time. He's got one hit.
I know.
People are into it. I feel bad. I'm like, get home. Get a second hit.
Because when he got that first hit, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to nail this. This is going to be fantastic. So it didn't work out. We hold ourselves accountable around here. Chris in Manhattan, how are you, Chris?
Hey, Evan. Hey, guys. I love that gift. Maybe that gift become the new folklore with the numbers. It'll out-trump Castellanos' thing. Do something with that number. I don't know.
Yeah.
But all those tie-ins were amazing. Evan, I'm so happy you took accountability. I have one bone to pick with you. I think you need to take one more bit of accountability.
One more bit of accountability. Go.
I'm listening to your show yesterday, Psyched for the Philly Series, Mets are flying, and you predicted, you know it's coming, that Tyler McGill... You could see him getting rocked.
Yep.
He's been very good, very good. You could see him winning, losing the whole thing.
Yes.
The Phillies have a good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen. So I wanted you to know, like, you brought me down for a little bit. I got myself out of it. But one more thing.
Yeah.
You're a great dad. You were going to the game with your son.
Yeah.
Why do you want your son to hear that when you go to the game? Don't you want to get him all propped up
hold on.
He didn't hear it, by the way.
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention when I said that.
Jet was not listening. He was watching something on his iPad.
That's right. He had no idea.
So he had no idea.
And even if he did hear it, I'm just honest.
Mets suck.
Here's the beautiful thing about baseball.
He's aware of what, you know, the Mets are. Right
Mets
now.
Suck.
Yeah, well, he hasn't seen the Mets lose yet this season, other than opening day. That was the only game he's watched and actually saw the Mets lose. I think he's 10-1 when he's watching Mets games with me or whatever.
Mets suck.
But here's the reality about baseball. And I said this last year, and it turned out to be prophetic. And I'm going to say it again this year, not because I want it to happen, because I don't. The beauty of this sport is that things change on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Met pitching has been insanity. It's insanity. Tyler McGill's got a 1.08 ERA. Like, their team pitching staff has the best ERA in baseball, and it's not remotely close.
Pitching lab.
No, it's amazing.
Right, whatever that means.
They've won 5 in a row. They're playing great baseball. They're 16-7. They've only lost one game at home. That's all fantastic. Eventually, that's going to change because that's baseball. Not because I'm being negative, not because I want them to lose, but because that's what the sport does to you. Eventually, you cool off. Like, the Mets aren't going to finish 79-2 at home. Now, Positive Tommy may think they're going 79-2, but they're not.
Well, I have them for 120 wins, which they are still on pace for.
They actually are now. This is the first time that you're right about that. Their pace right now, it's actually a little bit below 120, but it's not that far off. That's obviously not going to continue. Now, I hope they sweep the Phillies. I hope they win 15 in a row. I hope they can be the 84 Tigers reincarnated. But the odds are not. So when I say that on the radio, I have a feeling. It's honestly how I feel. And by the way, I hate to say it, I kind of have the same feeling tonight. Griffin Canning's going to get pounded.
Christopher Sanchez is going to go fantastic when we went last week.
So that means he's always going to be fantastic?
I mean,
it's baseball,
He's pitching with confidence, and Jeremy Hefner and his pitching lab are just out of this world right now.
But you don't think eventually they're going to be duds in there?
Maybe. Here's what I think eventually they're going to need. They're going to need to have explosive run-scoring games, which they kind of do at points, but it feels very stagnant. The game we went to last week on Thursday, the second inning, top of the third, it was like, all right, just, we might get some runs in this game. And then we got not another run for the rest of the game.
Well, look at last night's game. They get the two early on solo home runs. It's nursing a 2-0 lead. And then they finally broke it open late when Lindor hit the bomb.
Right.
So I agree with you. And I think eventually the offense will click. I'm just pointing out what's obvious. It's not controversial.
No,
they're
not
going to maintain a 2-2 ERA. And I'm waiting for that moment.
Right. And even, who said this? Was it David Stearns? Whoever was talking about it.
David
Stearns. It's unrealistic that they're going to keep a 2 ERA for pitching for the entire season. So eventually they're going to have to start scoring runs.
So if you believe that they're not going to maintain a 2-2 ERA, which every sane human being would agree, then unfortunately, eventually, it's going to come crashing down. I hope it's not against the Phillies.
Down because Juan Soto could actually start hitting.
No, you're right.
Soto quietly was 0-for-4 last night.
Well, he almost had a 3-run home run.
Almost certainly counts.
By a centimeter.
Right, we know what that means. Still a long out.
I tell you one thing that was very funny. So Soto hits the line drive home run. Mm-hmm. The crowd's going nuts.
You mean Lindor?
No, Juan Soto.
Oh, when?
The one that was called foul.
Oh, foul. I thought, I was like, what are you talking
about? No, because it was called fair on the field.
Right.
So Soto hits the home run. Crowd goes nuts. I'm pumped up. Lights are going off, and Jet, my son, is a very calm fan. Like, he watches it. He watched the whole game last night. It was very good. Scored half of it.
Right, and you're there. You're
and
not
we're
at
there.
Home. You are in the ballpark.
We're in the building. So he's already a very calm fan. Like, he'll just clap, like, yeah, let's go Mets. But he doesn't stand up and scream. So I'm like, it's badass. We just saw Soto hit a home run. He looks at me. He's like, Dad, that was not a home run.
Hmm.
I was like, excuse me? He's like, it was foul. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And I said, well, you may be right. They're going to review it. So they go to review it. And it was foul.
Mets suck.
I'm like, how is Jet the only one in the bed? Everyone else is freaking out. Like, and Jet just very calmly was like, yeah, it's just, I'm sorry, it's not a home run.
Mm. And how did he know that?
I think
was it the angle or was he just?
I think he just watched the ball travel.
He's got some savantness with the eyesighting of baseball.
I don't know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Watched it and was very matter of fact, like, yeah, no, that was foul. I'm like, all right, I mean, I couldn't tell because my emotion was, oh, Libra.
Right.
And I think his calmness, which is something I aspire to be. I wish I was more like him in being calm during these games. He's actually told me, you got to calm down. I was like, I appreciate that, son. But yeah, he knew right away. But that came very close to being an electric moment.
What, about 5 years, he'll be saying, Dad, calm down. You're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think we found the perfect person to beat these games with Evan.
I know.
It's Jack. This kid's great.
Right.
He's telling you where you're wrong. He's telling you to calm down. He's your perfect yin and yang here.
And he was the only one in the building who thought it was foul. Mm. Because every other person is just freaking out about...
I watched that kid read so good yesterday. I think his eyes were sharp yesterday.
You saw him read really good yesterday, too?
Really well. Jesus. That would be an adjective that you use for a verb.
Come on,
you can't say reading good?
Oh,
no.
It hurts my ears.
Reading is a verb, right?
Oh.
So you need to describe it with an adverb. Good is an adjective.
Thank you, Teak.
So if someone asks, hey, how you doing? And you say good, that's fine. But if you say doing good, it's incorrect English. You should say doing well.
Okay, so if I'm on the Thanksgiving table and everybody goes, how you doing? I'm eating good. It's actually, I'm eating well?
Yes.
Yes.
Intellectually bankrupt.
And for whatever
but
reason.
But that's slang, so you can probably get away with it.
Well, you can get away with it because most people don't even hear
it. It's like slang. It's like you know, slang. We doing good.
All right.
Yeah.
And
it's like the whole football thing, right? Look good, feel good. Feel good, play good.
Play good, right.
Play good, get paid good.
Read
it
good.
It should be you get paid well, but we say get paid good.
Ah.
Got it?
You feel smarter now, Sean?
I'm an idiot.
Now, speaking of being an idiot, one Yankee thing that's very, very important, because I want to slam the basketball down in everybody's face. Sean, Devin Williams' ERA actually went down earlier today. How'd that happen, considering the Yankees weren't playing earlier today? They play tonight. Can you explain to the audience how Devin Williams' ERA mysteriously went down?
More problems with Major League Baseball, Evan, and Devin Williams is the benefit. On Saturday, in part of his implosion, Oswaldo Cabrera airmailed the ball to first base. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't realize this in real time, Saturday. I just was operating on the assumption, you know, it was an error because the throw was way 15 feet above the first base. Instead, they ruled it a single. And today...
Why? They called it a single, he was going to beat it, and an error going to second when it should have just been a two-base error.
A two-base error. Today,
yeah.
Today, Tuesday, April 22nd, this game took place on Saturday.
What happened, Sean?
Today,
I forgot. What happened?
There was an official scoring change that is now ruled that an error, which changes that whole inning for Devin Williams and has lowered his ERA by a full run. I just want to know, is this the same score that was scoring Sunday's game on Saturday?
It was, and there was a protest. That's what happens. We explained these rules yesterday, and normally we wouldn't bring this up.
It's Tuesday!
The only reason we're bringing it up is I was explaining yesterday about the whole no-hitter, non-no-hitter with Fried on the official scoring change, that this happens. That sometimes... Now, what I would tell you is if Chris McMonagle scored that game on Saturday, here's the Evan rule. I ain't changing a damn thing.
Mm.
When my pen writes and the game is over, it is final. I am not going back and now changing.
Did Chris score it? Do we know?
That's a great... Can you text Big Mac and ask him?
I'll find out. Here's my other question, Mr. Kamish.
Yeah.
What happens if you have Devin Williams and Cabellos in fantasy?
It's a great question.
The week's over.
So there should be stat corrections, but because the next week started, I'm not sure how that even works. Do you know, Tommy?
Yeah, I think they just apply the stat corrections, and let's say I beat Evan 9-7 and it impacted it, I would have just beat him 9-6. It is what it is.
So it would actually,
what if it flipped the winner?
Oh, well. The line starts to the left, I think they would tell
you. Can you can you check in our league if the Devin... Because that does change his ERA, which could have changed the team ERA.
So I was
how much more you want me to do right now?
I was playing against the guy who owned Devin Williams and every other Yankee in the league.
Did it change your score?
Did you win?
No, I lost.
But did it change the score?
No, it did not.
Now, that may have just been because it wasn't going to change the score. But here's the other question.
Right. It just wasn't close enough for Tommy to have affected.
Who filed the protest? Mm-hmm. You want me to tell you who I think it is?
Aaron Boone?
Devin Williams' agent.
What?
What? What?
The agent can file a protest with Major League Baseball to get a statistic change?
I think the agent makes a phone call because the agent is going to negotiate based on stats, and that few earned runs greatly changes his ERA.
Honestly, that makes sense.
Of course it makes
sense. But it was, think of how many agents are now going to, any slight, thought of an error being changed to a hit.
Well, this has been going on for a long time is my point, though. I think this happens all the time.
But agents?
I think, I don't know if the agent is formally allowed to do it, but I'm sure they make a phone call and say, hey, this should be protested. It changes. And by the way, wouldn't you feel the same way as an athlete? If there was a weird thing in football where your 19-yard rush doesn't count, it's, quote, unearned because of something that happened on the play, and that may change how much you get paid, you wouldn't say, excuse me?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Right. But just the fact that that's available for agents, for their players, seems like it's a corruption of the system.
No, the whole thing is. I agree. Yeah. What I said the other day when we talked about this is, it should be in a league office of Major League Baseball where they make official scoring decisions and whatever they say is final and we all move on. Now, one other question before we get back to your calls. Last night in the Yankee game, Yankees are already losing 4-0 at this point. The infield is in. There's a runner on third, less than two outs. And there is a line drive, sinking line drive. Hit it, Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz Chisholm.
But as this is happening, a broken bat is also flying at his head. Jazz Chisholm darted out of the way, put his hand up like, no! And let the ball get past him.
It wasn't a broken bat.
It was a broken bat.
Okay. Yes.
So the bat is like a weapon, and it's flying towards him. Would you have done the same thing, or do you think Jazz is being a little weak?
Jazz is a baseball player. What You're asking me as a football player.
You would have run right into the bat?
I just would have bodied it. I would have shouldered it, because if it pierces you, it's just not, it's your shoulder. And then you scoop, and you get the out.
That's my tiki right there. Were you pissed?
Take it with your shoulder. That's all you got to do.
Were you pissed at Jazz last night for being afraid of the sword that was coming at him?
So full disclosure, I was until I read his postgame quote.
Could you read his postgame quote? Okay. Because this is perfect. I'm on Team Jazz, by the way.
Yeah, I threw my hands up when I read this quote. I said, I've never dealt with this, so I'm going to put my hands up. Here we go.
Yeah.
I want to make every play out there for my guy, but at the same time, you don't want to die.
Die?
Hold on. You've got a sharp object coming your way. I've seen guys get stabbed with broken bats in person. Now, look, I've never seen that. So who am I to judge? That doesn't happen in the wiffle ball fields. So to me, if he's seen somebody get stabbed with a bat, I don't mind him running away.
Right.
I also think the situation matters. If it's the ninth inning and it's 0-0 and it's game five of the World Series, maybe you risk your life to try to make the play. But we're talking about the fourth inning of a game in April where you're already losing 4-0.
5-0.
5-0. Like, I almost think that that business decision makes a lot of sense.
It's not, we're going to lose this game if you don't make that play.
Well,
that's not what he's thinking.
So I'm going to give you an example, and I don't remember this very, very clear because I was really young. Like, I wasn't even scoring the game. This was my introduction to baseball. And for anyone who remembers this, definitely send me more information because I don't have it. It's just my head. Mets, Cardinals in St. Louis. Infield's in. Cardinals are trying to get the winning run in. And Dave Magadan is the Mets' first baseman. And there is a line, like a ball hit at him. Same thing. Bats flying at him. And Mags got the hell out of the way. And the Mets lost. And I remember being, you know, I'm like six at the time. What are you doing?
You were annoyed?
I was annoyed. I was like, the game's on the line. So in that scenario, I don't know. Like, would you think differently then, Sean, if it's the ninth inning of a tie game? Because that was the situation I saw with Magadan. And as a little 5 or 6 year old, I was not happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to our conversation about the scoring yesterday. I think the situation does matter. I think it's going to raise ire. If you lose a game because you're scared of a bat coming at you, then suddenly your toughness is questioned. You are angry that you're not going after it. Also, the bat was 20 feet from him, too.
But he doesn't know that as the bat is flying at him. I got to defend him. Like, he sees this object. He doesn't know it's going to be 20 feet away. How does he know? Last night there was a foul ball. I ducked. You know where it ended up?
Hitting your son in the head?
No. Is that right? In Luis Torrens's glove. It never even got to us.
Wow.
But off the bat, I thought, uh-oh, here we go. So sometimes it's tough to see.
Evan, you and I and all Met fans should applaud Jazz because he was able to identify a broken bat, fear for his life, instead of, I don't know, picking it up, chucking it at another human being, and then claiming it was a baseball.
Yes.
I don't want to re-engage in this fight with all you Yankee fans.
I'm just saying that's what I thought of.
Just as in Rodgers' defense.
Heroism?
Don't call him a hero, seriously.
Right? He just charged the bat.
No, stop it.
Okay.
It's broken.
This is your fault for ever bringing this stupid thing up.
Went right for it.
Because I knew
just grabbed the bat.
I knew we'd have a Clemens shill somewhere, whether it's Sean or Tiki, to have to defend him. I don't want to hear it.
I like Rocket. Piazza also did prove he's tougher than Jazz from that standpoint. Mm. Didn't run. Now, I got a Chris McMonagle answer on scoring the game.
Yes.
Okay, so Chris said that he did not score Saturday's game. He was driving home from vacation.
Huh.
However, he said he would not go back and change it. Quote, I'm not a maniac.
No, I'm with him. I guess in this regard, I'm not a maniac, too. I also have principles. Because my principle is when the game is over, it's final.
Right. What's there is there.
And I can't tell you. In fact, I'll give someone a research project. Go through my Mets Bible and find a game in which the scoring change occurred and I never changed it. And if you successfully do it, I should give them something. What should I give them?
I'll take a bottle of Field of Dreams bourbon and whiskey.
That's expensive, Sean. So let's go back to something
are
different.
Are tickets not?
Well, I've already spent the money, so the philosophy is different. Like, I've already spent the money. It's all gone. Because I will never do it after the fact. Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, looking forward to Thursday. Going to try to get out there for the draft, but I do want to talk Knicks. And as I have said throughout the entire season, the biggest issue is the coach. But, Evan, the second biggest issue, I have to disagree with you on something. See, you guys, I'm not a cat guy, but I am a dog guy. But I am familiar. Do you know the Meow Mix? The Meow Knicks?
Yeah, yeah.
The Meow Knicks. They need to feed their cat. Because the issue isn't Karl Anthony Towns, the player. The issue is the system not getting him the ball. So, Tiki, I'm going to give you an analogy for football and see if you like this one, to give Brunson the blame. Brunson is kind of like Aaron Rodgers here.
Kendrick, no.
Yes, hear me out, Tiki.
Go ahead.
Statistically, he's not a problem. He's going to give you reasons to cheer him. But the system is too predicated on his strengths and not the team as a whole. So when Garrett Wilson wasn't getting touches, that was whose fault? It wasn't Garrett Wilson's fault. It was the player who wasn't getting him the ball. Now, obviously, it's not apples to apples. But the reality of this situation here, guys, is the Knicks' offensive system is predicated on allowing Jalen Brunson to have the ball 80% of the shot clock. Now, here's what I would do to solve the issue. Because Brunson, for the same reason he's the problem, is also the reason why the Knicks are so good. So what I would do is I would actually take Brunson out earlier in the game to kind of deflate the Pistons. When I was watching last night...
How does that deflate the Pistons?
Because kind of like in football, when the defense goes into prevent, when they kind of rest a little bit, all of a sudden the offensive guys can get their swagger back. So if you take Brunson out, I was watching Schroeder, I was watching Thompson pick up full court. So if you take him out, it kind of zaps the energy on the defensive side of the ball for the Pistons. Their whole scheme last night was to get under Brunson's skin. Mm. So if you take out him for a little bit and allow Bridges and OG and those guys to get touches early in the game, that might get them going for the whole game. Mm. So to me, I would suggest maybe taking Brunson out earlier in the first quarter instead of Cat.
Interesting thought. Don't know if it would work because then you lose one of your top scorers. And part of the challenge in any playoff situation is scoring, right? The Knicks have fallen behind early in these games, and now you're going to fall behind early and then have a non-confident scoring bunch out there? I know what you're saying.
He's also the only shot creator on the team.
Exactly. So in theory, I can see why that makes sense. But I don't think in practice it makes any sense.
Let's go to Eddie in West Milford. What's up, Eddie?
Good thought, though.
Hey, what's going on, Evan? Tiki, you're a legend. Appreciate all the memories.
Thank you.
But, Evan, the question is really for you.
Yes.
You're a scoring guy. How do we deal with the Manfred man?
Ugh.
What do we put on the scorecard?
What I do is I just put a guy on second base with no reason why. So, Tiki, I'll walk you through scoring. You do a little diamond. Mm-hmm. Like, guy gets the first base, there's one part of the diamond. Guy gets the second, you got the second part of the diamond. Yes. If you complete the diamond and you score, it's a full diamond. So, what I do with the Manfred rule is I just put the guy on second with no explanation because he didn't get on by a double. He didn't get on by a walk. He's just there. And you just get used to it. You got to make adjustments. What else can you do? Mm. There's also been a lot of questions about what to do on strikeout, on clock violations. Gary Cohen gave a whole explanation on the broadcast last week. He does like
How often does that happen?
It happened once recently, and I'm trying to remember who it was. It was Jesse Winker, I think.
So what do you do?
What do I do?
How do you score it?
So I do a regular K, and then I put a V for violation. Gary was explaining how he does like...
Now, does that become a K for the pitcher? It becomes a strikeout for the pitcher?
Oh, yeah. Everything's the same.
Okay.
The player struck out. The pitcher struck out. It's just about how you score it. Hey, your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Pablo Reyes has not had two hits in a game since 2023. How many times did he have two hits in a game in that 2023 season? Who came up with this question?
I did. Today we're doing spiteful trivia.
All because I thought Pablo Reyes would get two hits yesterday?
So if the audience doesn't get it, you have Evan to thank.
Yeah, it's my fault. I don't think anyone's going to know.
They might.
How the hell would anybody know how many times, unless they just cheat?
Or they're like you and Big Mac and the other 15 lunatics that score baseball games and they go to their scoreboard.
How do I know? I came up with the question, which means I have the answer.
First of all, he wasn't on the Yankees in 2023.
So what?
So how are we scoring the game? It's a different team's game.
Hold on. Do you score Yankee games?
I do.
Are you a Yankee fan?
No, but Pablo Reyes, what team was Pablo Reyes on last year? Was he on the Mets?
Again, the point of the question is...
He was actually on the Mets for 10 minutes.
No, you're not understanding the question.
Oh, that was 24. I'm not sure about 23.
It did not happen at all last year, and you had the nerve to bet it yesterday. That's the point of the question.
That's your trivia question?
Well, that, you know what it is?
Petty differences aside shouldn't be part of our questions, but that's fun. So if you know the answer, Evan will read them.
I mean, that's not fair.
Petty, not fair. You guys got to grow
you
up.
You made the trivia question about Pablo Reyes getting two hits in a game all because I said, hey, let's bet Pablo Reyes getting two hits in a game?
Listen to me. Do a little homework out there for you, the audience, okay? We hand these cards out every week. You know, somebody's getting an easy answer off the class. I gave you a tricky one because Evan wanted to be snooty.
All right, so go to Baseball Reference and do your research. We'll take caller number 9 at 866-540-WFAN and answer your Baseball IQ trivia question. You can win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and Cadillac's family of EVs, including All Electric Lyric. We'll get to your phone calls, plus a new juicy rumor around the New York football Giants that may stun you. In 48 hours, it will be draft day. In 48 hours, the rumor, the innuendos, the lies, the falsitudes, it's all gone. There's going to be a draft. By the way, we're doing a show out at American Dream on Thursday. So stop by, hang out. We'll get you set for the Giants draft, for the Jets draft. All at American Dream at the Dream Bar. Regular show, 2 to 6:30, so we'll see you there. Plus, you can meet the Larry O'Brien Trophy live and in person. God knows the Knicks aren't going to get it this year. So you get to see Sean Morash dressed as the Larry O'Brien Trophy to pay off his debt to Tommy Lou Gower and the show. Because even if the Knicks get knocked out now, or knocked out later, or knocked out in 3 weeks, they still had a far more successful season than the New York Rangers, who didn't even make the playoffs. And that's the bet that they make. The Knicks went further than the Rangers, so as a consequence, Sean will be dressed as the Larry O'Brien Trophy. We all look forward to that.
Yes, we do. My wife, very much questioning this, by the way.
Oh, well.
You know, she said, didn't we do this bet last year? I said, but I didn't lose last year.
Yeah. Another country heard from.
Why I said, you're not a program director. Let's relax.
Why does she care about last year? Last year, Tommy lost. Tommy paid his dues perfectly. So why would she care about last
year? My wife didn't chime in, so pipe that.
I don't know. Suddenly she has very opinionated thoughts.
Well, I think her opinionated thoughts should be at her husband. Stop being so confident in your garbage hockey.
Oh, she did shares those. For making a terrible bet.
She did follow it up and said, I've sat here. If you cursed out the team all year, why'd you make the bet? I said, well, you know, sometimes you got
to
do what you
got. We bullied you into it. Mm. I'd be the first to admit that. Right. Because all year, Teak Sean was very hesitant about the Rangers.
Because he didn't believe in the Rangers.
Didn't at all.
Justifiably so.
But we caught him at a good time. Like, they started playing better hockey.
Right.
And we applied the pressure. And he said, we're going to win the Stanley Cup. And there you go. He made the bet. Now, the reason I bring up this NFL draft is we've got a new juicy rumor. And this comes from a guy that I trust. I think he knows what he's talking about, the great Peter Schrager. Mm. So here is a clip from Peter Schrager. This was earlier today, talking about the Browns and the Giants and the possibility of trading back.
There have been phone calls made to both the Browns at 2 and the Giants at 3 with the intention to move up, from several different sources telling me there are teams who are looking to get up in this draft to either the 2 or the 3 spot. The assumption being to move up to the 2 or the 3 spot, it would be for Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or the running back, Ashton Jeanty, who everyone expects to go somewhere in that 5 to 7 to 8 range. There have been teams making calls, and those teams are not immediately slamming down the phone. The Browns at 2, the Giants at 3. Mm. Everyone assumes it's going to be chalk, that this is going to go Cam Ward, it's going to go Travis Hunter, it's going to go Abdul Carter. Not so fast. I think the 2 spot gets very interesting if the Browns are listening to a Godfather deal for them to trade back and someone to trade up into the top 3.
Now, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
Let me start with this. Do you believe this is true, or do you believe this is a pile of rubbish
that's being pushed before
the draft?
I think it makes sense if the Giants aren't committed to taking a quarterback, and I don't think that they are. Now, with that being said, I wouldn't do this because I think you have a chance at 3 to get one of the great players in this draft. Now, if Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter go 1-2, mm-hmm. and now you're sitting there and you're like, damn it, you got to take one of these quarterbacks, it's a different situation. But if you have a chance to take a guy who is one of 2 guys who are likely perennial Pro Bowlers, you have to take those guys. You have to.
I agree with you. Like, I would not be happy if I'm a Giant fan and they end up trading back.
Me either.
I would not like that because you are guaranteed, as you pointed out, you know, barring the unforeseen, mm-hmm. which is somehow Hunter and Carter going 1-2, which is not happening. Cam Ward is clearly going number 1 of the Tennessee Titans. Yes. I think that's like the only obvious thing going right. into this
they
draft.
They need a quarterback.
You're trading back to do what?
Exactly.
You're trading back to get a collection of picks for what exactly?
Yeah. Later this year?
Later for what, though?
I know.
Like, you're giving up on a potential generational talent. Like, so why would you do it?
If somebody is willing, maybe. I don't even know if I would take this, though. Someone's willing to give you their next year's first-round pick and to come up to number 3. Now, that'd probably be coming from a long way back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that team is probably pretty good. Let's say it's the Steelers, right? Their first-round pick in 2026 is not going to be good enough for you to say, yeah, that's worth it.
I agree. That's part of the problem. So like, the odds of you hitting with that future first that you're getting and becoming another top 5 pick, I mean, obviously we'd have to see the team that's making the offer,
yeah.
but I wouldn't bank on it.
Like, there are some drafts where it doesn't make sense to pick in the top 5, where the best players are, say, offensive linemen.
Right.
You're like, man, do I really want to take an offensive lineman with number 2 pick, number 3 pick, or running back? As he mentioned Austin Dintry. But this year, there are 2 guys that are going to be really, really good in the NFL.
Right.
And it's consensus. You could almost chalk it up right now. And if you're going to pass on one of those guys, the pivot or the swerve better be humongous.
Yeah.
And I can't think of what that would be.
The only thing I could think of where I'd say, okay, this makes sense, and it's not exactly what Trigger reported, is if the Patriots really want Abdul Carter.
Mm.
And they think you're going to take him. And you kind of finagle them into giving you something to move back.
Yeah.
But your whole plan all along was to take Shedeur Sanders. And so you end up getting an extra asset, mm-hmm. and you draft the player you wanted anyway.
The challenge with these draft week trades is that you think you make this trade. If you're the Giants and you're going back, you think you're going to make this trade and then get everything.
Right.
Right? I don't know, it's a panacea, right? It could fix it. It fixes everything. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case, especially if you're doing it to go get the quarterback as well.
Well, but if you are, see, this is where I'm thinking through, they've decided on Shedeur Sanders. Just walk me through this, that they've decided, you know what? We believe in the kid. We need a quarterback. We're taking Shedeur. And Schrager is right that you've got teams saying, hey, the guy we actually are trading up to get, maybe Genty, Carter, or Hunter.
Right.
And you already know, which is what I've been saying for months, that they're going to take Shedeur Sanders. Let's say the Raiders.
You keep saying this. That's not happening.
Well, I've been thinking it for months. I'm not going to be fooled by it.
It is not. They are not taking Shedeur Sanders.
You're not confident about that?
I'm not confident. You are overly confident.
Well, because they're taking Shedeur Sanders.
Why? Your brain was wrong about Nolan Arenado.
Hey, don't call out my brain.
Your brain is going to be wrong about Shedeur Sanders. So much so that if your brain is, you know what? Sean got to make a show decision. Led to A-Rod Day.
Yes, A-Rod Day. Yeah.
Congrats, A-Rod.
If they don't take Shedeur Sanders, which they're not,
okay.
I get to make a show decision.
Oh, jeez. Should I be scared?
Maybe.
Are you doing period or a 3 overall?
I would say, can I clarify that?
Sure.
So if the Raiders wanted to make sure they got Genty and they traded with the Giants at 3, mm-hmm. and the Giants went back to 6 and took Shedeur Sanders, I think that counts as me being
that
right.
That counts for you.
Okay. If they got him later on, like they took Abdel Carter and then they traded up and got him at like
Sean believes.
Yeah, that won't count.
Okay.
If their first
pick. I still get show decision if that happens.
I will agree that you get to make it, which I should be afraid of.
Perfect.
But I just have this feeling. I've been saying it for months. But that's where trading back would make sense.
Right.
No, it wouldn't.
Almost 2 years and I finally get to make a show.
Let's go, Teak.
Do you have something in mind, by the way?
I'm banning you from the station.
That was bad, Teaky.
What's your problem, Sean?
The only issue with your little trade back scenario is, okay, you trade back and you lose one of the two elite blue chip players in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're trading back to 4 with the Patriots, you don't control your own destiny.
No, hold on. I would look at it this way. Cam Ward's 1, Travis Hunter's number 2. I'm on the board at 3. I've decided Shedeur Sanders. Whether you think it's going to happen or not, mm-hmm. just walk me through. They want Shedeur Sanders, okay? They've all decided on it. The Raiders keep calling you because they really want Jeunty. You're like, all right, we go from 3 to 6. We get the extra assets, probably a couple of extra second-round picks. I don't think you're getting a first for that.
No.
If you trade back, Raiders get up to 3, they take Jeunty. The Patriots take Abdul Carter. The Jaguars are not taking Shedeur.
Okay,
and I'm not worried that the Saints are trading up to get him. And then, I got Shedeur at 6. I'm paying him less money than if I drafted him at 3, and I got an extra asset.
Okay, and then when the Steelers call the Jaguars and they jump you and we're caught napping, now you don't have Abdul Carter, you don't have Shedeur Sanders, and you're sitting there with your thumb up your rear end.
But do you think the Steelers are going from 21 to 5?
It doesn't matter.
That's hard.
It's hard. And it doesn't matter what I think. The draft is unpredictable. And all I know is when you're sitting there at 3, you at least control what you can control. If your eye is, I'm trading back because I want a quarterback, you lose all control on whether you get that quarterback.
I think I agree with Sean here because if you sucked enough the season before to be picking number 3, at least get the player you absolutely want and don't try to get cute with it. Trading out is getting cute.
Yeah,
unless you really don't have a need.
And this is not a Saquon situation where it's a running back where you disagree. Right. It's a pass rusher.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the sentiment of if once I identify a player, just go get him.
Yes.
Don't screw around. Right. I'm just walking through where a trade back would make sense because on the surface, I wouldn't trade back if I'm the Giants. I'm picking at 3. I'm in a great spot. What is the appeal of trading back unless it's kind of what the Celtics did with Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
They were picking number 1 that year. They knew they weren't taking Markelle Fultz. So, like, let's trade back at Tatum anyway and get some extra picks.
Yeah, well, they knew that the whatever you want to call it, the evaluation of Jason Tatum was wrong. They knew it.
Right.
You got to give them a ton of credit for it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody else had it that way.
Yeah.
Everybody else thought Markelle Fultz was the next coming. And, I mean, is he even playing anymore?
He was with Orlando, and then I think he was out of the league. Yeah, I'm not even sure.
I haven't
he
heard his name in 2 years. It feels like,
and we're putting him in the same sense as Jason Tatum. It shows you how bad that went.
It tells you how wrong all those teams were.
Oh, look, overall, I think Schrager's a hell of a reporter. So he's one of those guys I trust. He hears things. I think trading back makes no sense. If I'm the New York Giants, it just doesn't fit. Let's get to some of your phone
calls. Markelle Fultz, by the way, is on the Sacramento Kings.
Is he? Look at that. How many games did he play this season?
You could have given me 15 guesses. I wouldn't have gotten
that. Did he play a lot this season?
He played 21 games, averaging 8 minutes in those 21 games.
Yeah, all right. That makes sense. Let's go to Jim in Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Jim.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, couple comments, actually. One, Cheeky, I got to tell you, back in the day, I went to Giants Stadium. Not Metropolitan, whatever it's called.
MetLife, yeah.
Okay, I've been in both, but when I went to John, I just want to say this out. Steve Cheeky, it was your year, bro. Or your years, I should say. I'd like you to comment whenever you feel like it. A Giant Stadium was so designed that the seats curved and kind of, they curved. They like if you were in a, you could see the whole field. Let's put it that way. That's A. B, Evan. You need to take some drugs because you need to calm down. I know your blood pressure must go off the map. I love you. But if the Giants pick Shedeur Sanders at 3, they'll have to get bodyguards for Joe Shane. I mean, it's impossible.
You think so? You think
I agree with Jim here.
That if they took him at 3, they would be like major protests from Giant fans?
I think that everyone believes that the Giants need to take a quarterback because they haven't drafted one yet. We've said this for 3 years now.
Right.
Oh, well, Dave's and Shane, they haven't drafted their quarterback. But drafting and being evaluated on your draft is not just about having a franchise quarterback.
That's Joe Douglas.
Exactly. It's about having the infrastructure in place to draft a franchise quarterback. And they didn't. The Jets didn't. I don't think the Giants do.
Mm.
Think about 2022 and the season that they had. Like it was a great coaching job by Daves. But let's be honest. It was some smoke and mirrors.
Mm.
Right? They got away with winning a lot of games late. Some individual players making great plays in moments that mattered, and they won a bunch of tight one-score games. Since that point, so now going into 2025, is this Giants roster significantly better than that roster?
No.
Exactly. And so what are we evaluating Joe Shane on? You drafted your quarterback, or you've made our roster better in 3 years? The latter he hasn't done. Now, there's some individual really great players here, right? Malik Nabers has come on. Tyrone Tracy, I think, is going to be a good player. But from a consistency of execution standpoint, that is not true. They're not better than they were in 2022.
No, I agree
and
with that.
That's an indictment on executives. Like, that's just it is what it is. It's black and white. It's not me throwing an opinion. It's you see it, right? We know it. And so going into this draft, this is a prove it draft. For Joe Shane, right? He has to earn the right to be the general manager, to be viewed as a competent general manager. And this draft is going to be the one that everyone decides that on.
Here's the problem.
It's not on, well, they got the quarterback at least.
Right.
Great. You get the quarterback and you win three games again. You're going to get fired and you're going to be, your reputation is going to fall because of it.
This goes back to this. So this is his 22, 23, 22, this is his fourth draft.
Yes.
I agree with you. They're not as good roster-wise as they were in 22, a roster he basically inherited from the former general manager.
Right.
I agree with you about that. You even say they don't have the infrastructure to draft a quarterback. You may be right.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell am I allowing a general manager in his fourth year to have that resume make this decision?
Well, this is why so many people are saying that the Giants are in the worst spot. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I only agree with that if they feel compelled to draft a quarterback. Because then you're just screwing yourself even worse.
So do you think if they draft, if I'm right, which obviously you don't think I am, because you're ready to make a big show decision when I'm wrong.
Right.
If I'm right that they draft Shedeur Sanders, do you think, what will your reaction be? Are you going to be pissed off?
You know what it'll tell me?
Yeah.
It'll tell me that they are desperate to catch the division. So when you look at the division, what do you talk about when you talk about the Commanders? Oh, Jaden Daniels is a hell of a football player. What do you talk about when you talk about the Dallas Cowboys? Oh, they just paid Dak Prescott $60 million. Yeah, I know he's a fifth-round pick, but you know what? He earned that contract. He was second in the MVP 3 years ago. What do you talk about when you talk about Jalen Hurts? He's a Super Bowl-winning MVP quarterback.
Mm.
So if the Giants draft a quarterback, it's because they're desperate to chase the quarterback situations in their division. And that's not how you build a lasting winner. It's not how you build consistency, especially if you have doubts about that guy.
No, I get you.
And I'm not an evaluator of college quarterback talent, but I have my doubts about Shedeur Sanders. He might turn out to be a really good quarterback, or he might turn out to be terrible. I have no idea. And then you throw in the factor, which we want to discount because we think he's got so much savvy because of who his father is, that New York is going to be kind to him. I don't know that that's going to be true, right? Certain personalities work really well in New York. Certain don't. And so I can't predict it, and that gives me pause.
I have something I'm very excited to do with all of you tomorrow, right at 3 o'clock. It's called Draft Simulation Reaction. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be Roger Goodell. I'm going to be the umpire in this whole thing. I want to let you guys be the stars on this
one. Oh, you're not a Giant fan.
I'm not a Giant fan.
You have no idea what the Jets are doing.
The Jets are boring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the way draft simulation is going to go. I'm going to be Roger Goodell, and I'm going to say, with the third pick in the NFL draft, the New York Giants have selected, and I'm going to say a name. And then you, Tiki Barber, and you guys as well, will each get 30 seconds to give your instant reaction as if that draft pick actually happened.
Nice.
You're on it. So I want you to think about it. I want you to role play tonight before you go to bed on every possibility at 3. because I want to hear that raw animalistic reaction tomorrow.
Tracy will love that.
Wait, our wives have to be Roger Goodell?
We're going to role play with our wives,
guys. I said nothing about wives. That's your imagination.
That's what I heard. Role play.
It spices things up when you're married. I don't know.
It could be interesting if the name Tyler Shuck is uttered.
Oh, Shuck.